The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody.
Hey there.
Signature Diana sing song. Welcome to the show.
I did used to have a little tune that I would do for everyone I worked with at the Highland Bakery.
Oh, yeah,
it was
yeah,
a
sure.
short-lived thing because I ain't that musical, but...
It's like your version of giving someone a nickname is to
yeah,
give them a little tune.
Yeah, I'd be like, Maggie, yeah, you know, or something.
Sweet. What was yours for me?
Oh, you never had one. Sorry, babe. Should I make up one for you now?
Wow.
Would that make you feel better?
I mean, it doesn't feel as genuine.
I'll go. I feel like I could come up with one really fast.
Sure. Let's hear it.
Eli.
Okay.
How's that?
All right. You lucked out because that was very good.
So, it kind of sounds like a gum commercial.
Which is all I ever really wanted for myself.
Like a car or something.
Yeah.
Like a jingle anyway.
Triple dent gum. What a week. We got to go see some friends again last night. We watched Scream 5, or Five Cream, as the logo
five
says.
Five Cream.
It's great. I love the Scream movies. We're not big horror people.
No, especially me. I'm a bit of a wuss.
Yeah.
And I don't like to stress myself out with my entertainment.
You're stressed out enough, so you don't need to see people...
I stress myself out with my life.
You know, getting carved up and running for their lives.
Well, I'm glad we're talking about movies.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what we're talking about today, is somebody who made a lot of silent films.
Amazing.
Travel documentaries, specifically.
Yes.
Which we also have a lot of interest in doing one day in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because today, we are talking about Aloha Wanderwell.
Yes.
She was yearning to travel when she answered an ad looking for a lady with brains, beauty, and breeches to rough it through unexplored terrain all over the world and make silent film travelogues of their adventures. Now, this trip would change her life forever. She would become internationally famous as the first woman to drive across the world, and she would meet her husband, the leader of the expedition, Walter Wanderwell.
Amazing.
Listen, y'all, this story has everything. It's got a pants-wearing adventuress, a fake dad, a plane crash in Brazil, Hollywood hobnobbing, J. Edgar Hoover, and even a murder mystery.
Yes, let's go.
Hey there, friends, come listen well. Eli and Diana got some stories to tell. There's no matchmaking or romantic tips. It's just about ridiculous relationships. A lover might be any type of person at all, an abstract concept or a concrete wall. But if there's a story worth a second glance, we'll put it in a show, Ridiculous Romance.
A production of iHeartRadio.
Aloha Wanderwell was born Idris Galcia Hall in 1906 in Winnipeg, Canada, and her father, Herbert Hall, joined the Canadian Expeditionary Force at the start of the Great War in 1914, and then he was transferred to the British Army. Mm. When he was seriously injured in 1916, Idris's mother, Margaret, put her in a boarding school, and she took herself and her youngest daughter to England to, like, hang out with Herbert.
Right.
In 1917, Herbert died in action in Ypres. And even though she was only 12 years old at the time, Idris traveled from her boarding school in Canada to England by rail and steamship all by herself.
Wow.
So that she could be with her mother in this time of grief.
Jeez, when I was 12.
Okay.
You know, well, I rode my bike around the neighborhood, but
I feel like I did very little on my own.
I think
I was
a steamship was out of the question, probably. Can I ride my bike down to Mike's house? Mm. Sure. Can I take a steamship to Canada? Well, ask your father.
Now, when she got to England, Idris made a shocking discovery. Herbert Hall failed to mention Idris in his will.
Oops.
And her mother was forced to admit that Herbert had been Idris's stepfather all along.
Oh, man.
Her real father was a man named Robert Welsh. And according to the New York Times, he died when she was only 2 years old.
Jeez.
But I feel like it's still shitty that he left her out of his will.
Yeah.
Because he was still her dad, like, most of her life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, weird choice on Herbert's part, in my opinion.
You know, did he just have this disdain for her whole life?
I don't think so, because in her autobiography, she's like, oh, we had a love and laughter-filled childhood, and everything was just great.
All this time, he's thinking in the back of his mind, oh, okay, this girl's great, but I ain't gonna leave her none of my money there. Not a single Canadian dollar.
That doesn't seem very nice. Canadian.
I know, very un-Canadian.
Very un-Canadian of Herbert. Yeah. So that was a shocker, and Idris definitely was like, at that point, I kind of felt like I didn't belong anywhere in the world. So she was feeling a bit unmoored by this, of course, and like disconnected from her childhood and everything.
Right.
But at that point, Margaret sent both of her daughters to like a stuffy French convent in Nice to be educated. And then she went to the front where she was searching in vain for Herbert's body.
Jeez.
Which is really sad.
So Idris, this girl is like nearly 6 feet tall. And she's gorgeous. She's got a total movie star face. She's got curly, dark blonde hair. She's got big, wide doe eyes.
Oh, yeah. Bambi just all the way.
Very beautiful. Something of a tomboy, though. She was really restless, and she was very outspoken. So at the convent, you know, didn't quite fit in. She was always kind of annoying the nuns by demanding things like, you need to give me a room with a window that'll open so I can let the breeze in, which, I mean, reasonable demand, I think. But the nuns obviously weren't used to hearing that kind of talk.
Like, a breeze? The Lord doesn't send a breeze.
The Lord wants you to suffer in the heat. She would also speak up on behalf of her classmates, which obviously the nuns don't like either. Not big on challenging authority, those nuns.
Not so much.
But she was able to learn languages really easily. She was comfortable with English and French and Spanish and Italian. She also started to learn to drive, which is very exciting because the car would have been very new at this point.
Oh, yeah. And most women didn't learn how to drive.
Right.
Period.
In fact, Idris said that she even wished she'd been born a boy so that she could do things like drive and join the Navy and travel the world.
Mm.
She was also, incidentally, crossover alert here, a big fan of Colette. She would read her books. Yeah.
Well, she was in France at the right time.
Sure.
To be reading like Claudine and stuff.
Colette, real hot right now amongst the tomboys and outspoken young women of the world.
Right? All the like liberated ladies of the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, finally, in 1922, her chance to escape the confines of her life came in the guise of an advertisement reading,
Brains, beauty, and breeches. World tour offer for a lucky young woman who is as clever a journalist as her appearance is attractive.
Ooh.
She must forswear skirts and, incidentally, marriage for at least 2 years and be prepared to rough it in Asia and Africa.
You have to forswear skirts and, incidentally, marriage. Because if you get rid of the skirts, you know you ain't getting married anyway.
I know, right? No man marries a lady in pants.
Yeah, right.
Now, this ad was ostensibly they were looking for a secretary, a driver, and a French translator.
Mm.
But the ad also concluded,
she must learn to work before and behind a movie camera.
Oh, camera.
Camera.
It's brand new. We haven't learned how to pronounce it yet. Amazing.
Now, Idris could not resist this ad. I mean, it was basically written for her.
I can barely resist this ad.
Okay,
I'm ready to bosom buddies this job. I'm going to show up in a dress and be like, I'm willing to give up my skirts for this job.
And just put on a wig.
Yeah.
I'll wear pants for you. Hire me.
Ooh, what a beautiful lady. Get her in here. Yeah. I do hate that it's like, you got to be cute, wink, wink. Like, what's that got to do with anything?
Right.
But whatever. She's like, look, I'm cute. I'm hot. I can speak French. I know how to drive. Let me go for it. So even though she's only 16 years old at this point, she answered the ad and she met the expedition's leader and organizer, Captain Walter Wanderwell.
Wow. And he met her and he was like, you know, maybe you're going to be the one to save me.
Oh, no. I was waiting for the Oasis joke.
Because after all.
I was over here like, I came in like a Wanderwell. And I don't know why. Wonderwall makes more sense. But that's what I was doing.
Walter Wanderwell was a Polish national. His real name was Valerian Johann Pyszynski. But he changed it because no one in America could pronounce it. And he threw in captain just for good measure. And he went beyond just the title. He actually loved to illegally wear a military uniform in public. And he got quite a few petty criminal charges throughout his life because of it. Impersonating an officer and all that. He was kind of a shady character in general. He spent a brief time imprisoned in Atlanta during the war on suspicion of being a German spy.
Hey.
And he also, accounts suggest that he was probably a rum runner during the Prohibition as well. So real slippery dude, doing all kinds of little petty crimes and getting away with it.
Right.
In 1918, he met a Broadway chorus girl named Nell, and he married that woman. And together, they started the Work Around the World Education Club. According to an article on MorristownGreen.com by Jeffrey V. Moy, they, quote, envisioned it as a volunteer international police force that would monitor countries for signs of military buildup to prevent a repeat of the atrocities and death of World War I.
Interesting idea.
Yeah.
An international police force.
Right. Started by these two randos, like a fake captain and a Broadway chorus girl.
I know.
Are going to go out and stop the Nazis from rising, you know. Spoiler alert, they didn't.
No. Well, and like, I guess this was sort of, they were marching alongside like Woodrow Wilson's trying to start League of Nations.
Sure.
Is supposed to be, you know, eventually becomes a UN and it's sort of supposed to be that kind of world police thing. So he's like, I'll help in a little weird way by doing this. I don't know.
Right. Well, and some people say that Walter and Nell and later Idris, who joined them, were genuinely working towards peace and justice. But others say that Walter was just kind of a guy that was really good at finding money to support himself without ever actually holding down a job. So this club was just a way to get what they called volunteer cadets to fork over expensive fees that he would just use to support himself. So basically, he's a con artist.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, whatever it was, their main activity in promoting peace around the world was just going on a bunch of trips and sharing their footage with paying customers.
Wait a second. We've been trying to get a travel podcast this whole time.
Right.
Well, maybe we should just approach some world governments and say, hey, we'll promote peace around the world.
Yeah.
You pay
to
us.
Prevent the atrocities of World War I's.
Yeah.
And World Wars I and II.
Yeah. What will you do? Well, we'll go places and we'll film what's happening there. And then people can buy that footage from us.
It'll be great. They'll be like, Instagram already exists. Thank you
so
much.
Yeah, right.
No, but of course, at this point, you know, travel was something that was pretty out of reach for the average person.
Yeah.
So going, and the camera's new, the car's new, there's a lot of new things going on.
Right.
So it was pretty special to see someone's travel footage.
Right, yeah,
like,
definitely.
Looking at their vacation photos was like a real get. People
right.
actually wanted to see that.
And shit. This is not long after everyone was freaking out reading books about Amelia Earhart and George Putnam and all them, you know, going on these global treks and explorations, and they're reading about them. But imagine if you could see it.
Exactly. So by 1919, Walter and Nell decided to do a Ford-sponsored million-dollar wager race around the world. Each of them would lead competing teams and see who could travel the most miles and visit the most countries. And they would film their travels, they would do screenings and lectures to like pay for their time on the road. And Nell always wore pants, which she found to be, quote, more practical and comfortable. But it had the added bonus of always grabbing a headline. It was very good for headlines.
Oh, my God.
Because at the time, a woman wearing pants was about as weird as someone wearing a duck for a hat or yeah. something. Like, just like, ha, what am I seeing?
Well, now I've seen everything. A woman in pants. What's next? Horses with glasses? But by 1922, Nell and Walter were separated. Nell once said that Walter, quote, couldn't be true to any one woman. He was the eternal lover, overlooking nothing. An actress from here, a stenographer, a shop girl, geishas, choir girls, dowagers, from Suez to the Straits, settlements and back again. Everything in skirts had a fascination for the romantic captain.
Ooh, I want you to play a scorned wife one day.
<I'm>
for
ready.
The 1919.
Yeah, she's not having it.
I could just see with a little cigarette like, get out of here.
I've seen it all. This is the last time you'll be cheating on me, see?
See? I'm out of here.
I don't know why she's suddenly a gangster from Chicago, see?
Hey, she went through a lot. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
it hardens it you. It hardens you.
So Nell and Walter on the outs, and this is around the time that Idris saw this ad and applied, got the gig, she joined the team, and Walter and Idris were going to be the new partnership. Their main competition was Walter's estranged wife, Nell, as they traveled around the world.
Mm-hmm.
They had modified a 1917 Ford Model T to have a bigger gas tank, oil tank, and even wheel modifications so the car could also travel on railways.
Pretty
cool. And then at the back of the car, it could fold out accordion style into a traveling darkroom. So they could develop film and photographs right there in the car. Incredible. I want this car, Diana.
I know.
Put it on the Christmas list.
I love it. And she did, they did eventually donate it to the Ford Museum.
Okay.
I don't know if they still have it, but you probably, I don't know why
they did it. I'm sure they do, which to me, you know what it sounds like. We've got a heist coming up.
Ooh. You and I are going to steal that shit.
Yeah, Ridiculous Crime is going to be covering us next year.
Yes! How amazing would that be?
Trying to steal Idris Wanderwell's car.
The Wanderwell Model T. It probably goes like 20 miles an hour. We're
know,
driving
right?
out of the museum real slow.
Let's get out of here. Let's burn rubber.
And all the security guards are like, we'll walk. We'll wait. There's no gas.
Yeah.
So good luck.
It gets a half mile per 10 gallons. You're not going anywhere.
We'll meet you at the door. All right. Well, before they left on this race around the world, Idris changed her name to Aloha Wanderwell.
Wow.
Now, Aloha was apparently a family nickname.
Okay.
Which I think is kind of cute. If she's like, I want to travel and I want to run around with the Navy. They were like, call her hello, goodbye. You
oh,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as taking Walter's last name, sources kind of vary on why. Some say her mom had Aloha declared as Walter's ward so that she would not, like, she wouldn't ruin her reputation by traveling with a man alone. And she actually may have gone as far as adopting Walter herself so that they would legally be brother and sister.
Oh, wow.
Unclear.
Mom, will you adopt this old man who wants to take me around the world?
Okay, honey.
So we could be brother and sister and it won't be weird?
Some say that Walter gave her the name himself for like ease of travel and branding
and
all kinds of little reasons like that.
Yeah.
Speculation station. I think Aloha was just like, Wanderwell, what a great name, yoink.
It is pretty dope.
I mean, it's a great name.
Yeah, if you're a traveler.
So whatever the case, she had her nom de route and the dash around the world began. And we will hear more about it right after this.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Welcome back to the show, everybody.
So during Aloha and Walter's first trip from 1922 to 1925, Aloha didn't just translate French and drive the car. She also became like the face of the expedition, basically, and its main camera operator and narrator. She was their seamstress, their laundress, their editor. She was a salesperson, a negotiator, a mechanic, and a photographer.
Jeez.
She did vaudeville performances where they would sell photo pamphlets. They would screen their silent films. And she would give lectures about what was happening on screen during their films. Obviously, silent films, you need someone to do that.
Right.
These events not only turned her into a star, they helped fund the trip. So Walter was pretty happy.
I mean, he's savvy.
Oh, yeah.
I have to admit, savvy fundraiser.
Yeah. And this trip was amazing. I mean, it was grueling, but it was incredible. Aloha was often low on supplies, so she had to get clever with it. She would use kerosene in place of gasoline. She would crush bananas for grease. And she used water and elephant fat for oil in the car. So it's like the original biodiesel, basically.
Right? This is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the fact that the car would run on any of those things.
I know, right?
Man,
well,
sometimes
a Model
early
T,
tech.
You can pour anything in there.
That's true.
Go. It might explode, but it'll move.
It's like Doc in Back to the Future,
yeah,
like
right.
pouring beer into the DeLorean.
Mr. Fusion.
And yeah, I mean, they went through it. Okay, so in India, oxen had to tow the Ford through impassable mud flats and rivers because, of course, a lot of places don't have roads yet.
Right.
In China, it was laborers who were paid to drag the car 80 miles after it broke down.
Damn, I hope they were paid well.
Okay.
They also went through war-torn France. Mm-hmm. They saw Italy right before Mussolini took control.
Good timing.
They went through food riots and hostile mobs in Germany, which was, you know, suffering a deep depression at this point after the harsh reparations that world governments demanded after World War I.
In Saudi Arabia, she disguised herself as a man in Mecca so that she could enter and pray.
Wow.
Another time, she did the same to fight with the French Foreign Legion.
She made friends with Chinese bandits, and the Red Army in Siberia made her an honorary colonel for being the first woman to drive into Siberia.
They camped at the feet of the Sphinx in Egypt. They drove into Palestine to watch the beginnings of a new nation being built for Jewish people. They wandered the highlands of Portuguese East Africa. They nearly died of thirst in the Sudan desert. I mean, this trip was crazy.
Insane. Way harder than our drive out to Utah.
I know. The worst thing that happened to us was we stayed at a hojo.
I know, right? We didn't have to disguise ourselves as men at any point on that trip.
No, not even once.
The trip ended in New York in 1925. And by this point, Aloha was famous as the first woman to drive around the world.
That's right.
And she mingled with stars like Douglas Fairbanks and her childhood idol, Mary Pickford. Newspapers started calling her the Amelia Earhart of the open road.
Yeah.
And then she cut together their most famous film, With Car and Camera Round the World, for which they had shot 40,000 feet of film, which is
Good
a
Lord.
Lot. In 1924, in Calcutta, they'd even crossed paths with the aviators who were trying to fly across the world in 80 days, and Aloha filmed their encounter. In all, Aloha went through 43 countries across four continents, and even though Walter was kind of a demanding and tyrannical boss, mm-hmm. throughout their years together, they forged a real connection, and eventually, they fell in love.
But when they landed, Walter was arrested on charges of white slavery under the Mann Act, which prohibited the transportation of any woman or girl across state lines for quote-unquote immoral purposes. Because Aloha was still a minor, so they were like, you're taking this girl all over the place. Now, the sources vary on the exact reason for this as well. Some say the FBI was still suspicious of Walter because of his wartime activities, the German spy thing. And J. Edgar Hoover thought that his old work around the world education club that he'd started with Nell and was still doing with Aloha was actually his attempt at putting together his own private army that could be hired by any country at any time.
Oh, my God.
Which just sounds like some crazy shit J. Edgar Hoover would come up with.
Right. Because Walter is really just trying to scam people out of $200
so he could pay for
the trip. So he could be lazy and not work and go travel everywhere.
And I was like, Hoover never liked a regular explanation. He's like, there's got to be some weird shit going on top of this.
Yeah.
So the Mann Act was just kind of a convenient excuse to get him arrested.
Okay.
But other sources say that Nell Wanderwell, who was still technically married to Walter at this point, accused him under the Mann Act so that she could force a better divorce settlement and get some more money out of him. Either way, the most expedient solution was to marry Aloha, of course.
Oh, okay.
So Walter got his divorce, and they tied the knot, and they would go on to have two children together, Niall and Valerie.
I know there's not a lot of details about it, but speculation station, Nell got a really good deal in that divorce. She's like, oh, you want to marry Aloha to keep yourself out of jail, do ya? Well, let me bust out the list here for that divorce. Mm. Yeah, I'll give it to you no problem. Just give me the following. One, a helicopter. Two, three smoke grenades. Who knows what she was looking for?
How many membership fees did you take in this year?
Yeah, right. But neither of the Wanderwells, Aloha or Walter, were looking for a quiet life on the home front. It wasn't time to settle down with a picket fence and a dog and TV dinners. So those two children they had ended up staying with family members or in foster homes as the couple took to the road again, which they did famously in 1930 when Aloha learned how to pilot a plane and they decided to fly to South America to search for the explorer Percy Fawcett, who had vanished while trying to find the mythical lost city of Z in Brazil. But they found something very different. According to MysteriousUniverse.com, their little German seaplane ran out of fuel and came down somewhere along the Paraguay River. This area was remote, it was unexplored and uncharted, and the couple probably would have died there if they hadn't met the Bororo tribe.
Now, this is an indigenous tribe. It was, for the most part, completely unknown to the outside world. And they provided a safe place for Aloha to stay, while Walter hiked through the jungle back to civilization to get fuel and replacement parts to get the plane flying again, which was supposed to just take a couple days. But Aloha ended up being alone with this tribe for months.
Wow.
However, we know our girl. She did not waste her time.
Right.
She learned their ways. She became the first to film the tribe's daily routines and rituals, including ceremonial dances, a first contact meeting between the tribe and Aloha, and the men of the tribe experiencing sympathy labor pains while a woman gave birth.
Wow.
Which I think is just really interesting. They must have had, they were like trying to be a part of it. And Aloha edited this into a 32-minute silent documentary called Flight to the Stone Age Bororos, which, as Mysterious Universe writes, quote, is still considered by the Smithsonian Institute's Human Studies Archive to be a very important anthropological study and resource. Now, finally, Walter made it back, and they flew home in 1931, and no trace of Percy Fawcett was ever found.
Wow. Got to imagine, I mean, this is super cool, but a couple things. One, it's impressive to see these sympathy labor pains coming out of this tribe and realizing that, technologically advanced, though some civilizations became, others were still far more advanced.
Right.
In other ways.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you guys have empathy for your women.
Although I did learn that they had like an odor thing where they thought your body odor corresponded with like your moral goodness or something.
Oh, okay.
And your breath corresponded with your soul.
Sure.
So like when I woke up this morning, I was like, the Barovros would be like, she needs to go.
Throw her into the volcano. Yes. That's something. Also, I can't imagine, like, it's still 1920s white people going into South America. I can't imagine she was, you know, the picture of empathy and understanding.
Yeah, no. I mean, she was definitely ahead of her time in a lot of ways,
yeah,
as we're learning. But in this way, you're right. She was very much of her time. She wrote a 1939 autobiography called Call to Adventure.
Okay.
And this lady, Tracy Landecker, on AlohaWanderwell.com, wrote that it's not always pleasant to read. She said, quote, while the 1920s was an era of ideological and technological growth, American exceptionalism and racism were still the order of the day for the majority of white people.
Yeah.
In most of her accounts, Aloha retains the haughty distance of a missionary and an imperialist. Never at any time is that wall penetrated, no matter the beauty or the courageous character of the cultures that either welcome her or look on her with perplexity and sometimes derision.
Okay.
So, which is interesting, too, because it's clearly like the other cultures would see her and be like, who's this tall white lady? Like,
right. Yeah.
It was just culture clash stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, she definitely felt superior to the people she was talking to.
Yeah.
I think she wasn't so shitty that she couldn't charm them and live with them and feel a kinship with them and stuff like that. But yeah, she held herself apart in a lot of ways as well. So a good point.
I mean, you know, it's always the challenge with dealing with these early 20th century explorers because their lives are so cool and also like, I don't know if you should be doing that.
Right. In fact, that might be why Percy was never found.
Mm.
Some people say that he got real uppity with some locals in South America and like slapped him around.
Oops.
And they were like, and then he disappeared. So he's probably got killed because he was being an asshole.
Mm-hmm. He's like, it's called a smoking jacket and we all wear them where I come from. And you should too. It's uncivilized.
And they were like, let's kill this man.
I'm done with this guy. Oh my God. Well, Walter and Aloha were back in Los Angeles in 1932 after this adventure, and they planned to do more trips and more films together. Aloha stayed with her sister in Los Angeles, cutting together a film of their latest adventure, while Walter was working on fixing up their 110-foot yacht called the Karma. The plan was that they would sail to Tahiti and film a voyage around the South Seas. It was docked in Long Beach, and he and his two Wanderwell children lived on the ship. As usual, he put out advertisements for young, attractive adventurers to join our crew at $200 a head. And of course, there were several people either on board the yacht or just ashore doing various tasks to prepare for the trips. They show up, they pay him the $200 dues, and then they are permitted to do all the work for him.
Yes,
sounds
exactly.
Sounds like a great setup,
what
Walter.
A great guy.
Right?
I'll also say a yacht sounds really fancy, but apparently authorities at the time said it was about as seaworthy as a cardboard box.
Oh, no.
So they were kind of like, you shouldn't go on this trip, but Walter. They couldn't really do anything about it. Mm. So they're like, I hope he's fixing it.
Like, seems like a guy who would cut costs.
He does, doesn't
mm-hmm,
he?
Mm-hmm. Now, on December 5th of 1932, some of these crew members were playing cards on the yacht when a man in a light gray trench coat and hat pulled down partially to obscure his face, appeared at a porthole and asked, hey there, can I see Walter Wanderwell, please?
Hmm.
Well, they figured he was just another potential crew member or maybe a worker who was called to fix something. So they said, yeah, he's back there in his cabin. The man walked away, and moments later, they heard a gunshot. And they went running to Walter, only to find him dead with a bullet in his back from a .38 revolver.
What?
There was no trace of the man in the gray coat. Who done it? We'll find out more right after this.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time-ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. There's a murder afoot.
There sure is. Walter was shot in the back.
Oof.
And the police were a little stumped because thanks to Walter's shady dealings, as Mysterious Universe says, quote, the list of possible killers with a motive would have made Agatha Christie's head spin.
Oh, no.
It could have included husbands, boyfriends, jilted women, jilted business partners, an agent of a foreign power, rogue police, and Aloha herself.
Check, 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 check.
They're like,
motive, 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 motive.
The poor Long Beach PD are like, we do not have the manpower to go down this list of suspects.
They're like, there are 120 local suspects and over 14,000 across the world.
Now, Aloha was a suspect because even though they had definitely planned to take another trip together, their marriage was on the rocks by this time, mostly due to Walter's philandering.
Of course. Okay,
because he was always getting it wherever he went.
Wherever he went.
And a few days before the murder, Walter had the crew searching for his 38 revolver, which he said had disappeared from his supplies.
Oh.
Supplies Aloha had access to.
Oh, no.
Aloha also did not react to his death the way that people expected. She's a little detached, kind of she didn't like start screaming and crying in grief or anything.
Yeah.
Instead, she just immediately asked about her kids, and they were not only just fine, they had slept through the whole thing.
Oh.
And after that, she just kind of withdrew into herself. AlohaWanderwell.com writes that she, quote, lapsed into a state of glittery immobility, which was to earn her the name of the Rhinestone Widow.
I mean, she didn't react to his death the way people expected. I'm not really expecting much of a reaction at all.
I'm like, well, first of all, he sucks. So what do you, and she's like, sure. Somebody killed him.
Right.
And took him so long.
Right. Not very surprising.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, whatever. Or also if she's like lapsing into a state of glittery immobility, I think that's also a sign of grief or shock.
Sure. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. In its own way. I mean,
but you know,
I'm always lapsing into glittery immobility.
It is what people say about you the most.
Yeah. Glittery and immobile. That's me
that's
all
Eli
over.
That's Eli Banks.
But the police really felt that they had found their, well, guy when they heard about William James Guy. Crew members who had spoken to the mysterious man in the porthole said he had a slight accent, and William Guy was either Welsh or Australian.
Hmm.
He also owned a light gray trench coat and a hat, but the most damning evidence against him was motive. Because a year or so before the murder, William Guy and his wife Vera along with another woman, had been in Buenos Aires and saw an advertisement for English and Spanish speakers to join the Wanderwell's latest expedition. So they answered it. They said, sounds great. That's us. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And William had to pay the $200 fee to get the three of them on board. And he told the police, quote, I didn't like Wanderwell from the beginning. Or no, he's Welsh or Australian.
Right.
He told the police, quote, I didn't like Wanderwell from the beginning. He was a disagreeable and petty man, a regular dictator. Liked to be called the Little Admiral, all that sort of thing. He worked us like dogs. We were principally fed on beans.
Mm.
That's enough for anyone to
he
murder.
He said, not for $200. Uh-huh. What is this, a Viking cruise?
I'm working for beans here, you know. Well, totally fed up, William Guy had gone to Walter and demanded better conditions. But Walter called this an attempted mutiny.
Oh.
And he docked the ship and left William Guy, his wife, and their friend on the beach.
Dang.
William Guy told the police, quote, we were absolutely stranded. No money to get anywhere. Finally, I arranged for a steamship company to take the two girls back to England, which was the address on their passports, and I set out on foot to Nicaragua. I haven't seen my wife since, and I haven't seen the money I gave Wanderwell. And I'm just sometimes I'm a little more Cockney than Australian. Well, it's a
like
mysterious accent. William Guy, no one was quite sure where he's from.
So yeah, this William Guy had plenty of reasons to kill Walter. Mm-hmm. So he was formally charged for the murder and he was put on trial.
Guy kills Guy.
That's literally what the headlines are. It's so funny. They're like, Guy indicted.
We found a guy. Who?
Guy. But there were a few problems with William Guy being the murderer. One was that Walter, after he was shot, was found with $600 in his pocket.
Oh.
So that kind of ruled out robbery or money as the motive.
Yeah.
Although, William, you know, he shot a guy while there were definitely people nearby. So maybe he just didn't have time to like roll his pockets before he had to run off. Who knows? But they were kind of like, clearly that wasn't the reason he was here. The other problem was that William Guy was able to produce six witnesses, putting him at a friend's house 30 miles away.
That's pretty
when
good.
The shooting happened.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty tough to get over. So he was acquitted. The only other suspect named by police was Lord Edward Montague, who was the second son of the 9th Duke of Manchester. And his dad was a spendthrift who exhausted the family fortune. Mm. So Edward became a world traveler himself. He gravitated to America, where, according to Michael Newton's Encyclopedia of Unsolved Crimes, quote, he lived at various times as a taxi driver, hot dog vendor, private in the U.S. Army, a hobo drifter, and a seagoing deckhand.
Wow.
What a life.
Yeah.
To go from being a duke's son to being a hot dog vendor. Pretty interesting.
That's like Prince Harry is about to be a hot dog vendor, I heard.
I can't wait to see him hawking hot dogs.
He's going to be out there at the soubrette cart.
Plenty of people would want his sausage. That's all I know.
I heard it was all frostbitten.
You're right. Maybe they don't want it anymore. The main evidence against Edward Montague was that he owned a .38 revolver that he had lent to a friend, and then the friend had then lent it to a third guy, so nobody was, like, aware of where it was anymore.
Mm.
And they were like, so you might have had something to do with that murder weapon. But otherwise, it really wasn't anything to pin on him. So he was never even formally charged. So the murder of Walter Wanderwell is still unsolved to this day. And they never found his revolver either.
What? Mm-mm. You hear that, super sleuths? Get out there.
That's right. Go time solve for a podcast.
The yeah. Yes. Now, Aloha, meanwhile, she was left with only $1,500 to support herself and her two kids. So she memorialized Walter in the most appropriate way she could think of for him. She used the scandal around his death and murder trial as publicity for their latest film, River of Death.
Smart.
Now, that didn't help with the folks who thought that she was the murderer, but Aloha didn't care. She needed the money. So she got back on the road, touring America, screening her movies, doing lectures, everything she used to do with her husband. And then in 1933, she met another Walter Nicholas Baker. This guy was 18 years old, and he was working as a gas station attendant in Laramie, Wyoming, when he met Aloha, and he joined her crew as a driver and a mechanic. He was 8 years younger than her, but Sparks were flying. Spark plugs were flying. And they married only 2 months later.
And they toured the world together. They made films from 1933 until 1939, when, of course, World War II started and kind of made international travel pretty impossible.
Sure.
But in 1945, they also documented a wild horse roundup in the Red Desert of Wyoming called Explorers of the Purple Sage. And ultimately, by the end of her life, Aloha traveled over 500,000 miles through 6 continents and 80 countries.
Wow.
A long way from that convent.
Yeah, right?
She made over a dozen films. She wrote 2 books. She worked as a journalist and radio operator. She just did a whole bunch of cool shit.
Amazing.
And she and Walter Baker settled in Newport Beach. She gave her last lecture in 1982. Apparently, she asked the crowd, like, how'd y'all get here? And they were like, car and plane. And she's like, let me show you what that was like in 1922.
Yeah.
It's
different.
Walter Baker died in 1995. They had been together for over 60 years at that point.
Wow.
And Aloha followed a year later in 1996, having more than earned her nickname of the world's most traveled girl.
Amazing. This is another person I would just love to be. on the next go round.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, not without her struggles, but geez, I think it balanced out. She got to do the coolest stuff ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, minus the racism.
Yeah, well,
and,
yeah.
Imperialism and all that stuff.
Not have that part.
Right, I know.
But I do admire her for being willing to put up with all this stuff. I mean, she was really uncomfortable,
cold,
and hot and starving and thirsty and covered in mud and who knows, you know, just in mortal danger many times.
Yeah.
And she's just like, all of it was a dream. I loved it. I loved every minute.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
I think that's awesome.
If you go into those situations,
mm-hmm.
You hear about a lot of that, the horror stories and the near-death experiences and all that. But what's the opposite of that you're getting as well, right?
Yeah.
It must balance out, because if you're in those extreme situations, the highs have got to be, you know, as intense as the lows, if not more so.
Well, and I think it just says something about her, like, the type of travel she wanted to do.
Right.
She wasn't just a travel enthusiast. She was an explorer.
Yeah.
Because there was people who liked to travel at this time, but they wanted to take, like, the Titanic to England.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
they wanted to be comfortable the whole time.
Yeah.
She liked the ad she read, because it was like, you're going to rough it in Asia. And you're going to be in places that people don't go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, what was the real attraction. And I think that makes her really unique.
Yeah.
Especially in her time. Especially as a 16-year-old. She's like, please make me uncomfortable as hell for a very long time.
Right. Because there was even another woman, right, who also drove across the world.
Yes. The first woman to circumnavigate the world in an automobile was Harriet White Fisher in 1909.
Right.
But she used a chauffeur. She did not drive herself.
She was sitting on a silk cushion the whole time, probably.
Okay. All right, Hattie. You did something.
Someone sitting right next to her with a fan feeding her grapes the whole time. Speculation station. I don't know. She probably was also pretty tough. But
right. I'm sure it was
down.
Still.
She wasn't fixing flat tires herself.
No. That's why they give Aloha this honorific, because she drove the car.
She wanted to get her hands dirty.
Yeah. She's crushing bananas and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, she's doing all kinds of crazy shit. And yeah, her films are still really important today. You can watch a lot of them online
That's awesome.
If you're interested. But HarkAroundTheGreats.com says that her footage of the Taj Mahal and the Ganges River in 1936 dazzles to this day.
Oh, okay.
They say, quote, she gives viewers a sense of the scope and scale of the Taj Mahal, displaying the building from unfamiliar vantages.
Hmm.
And she and Walter Baker also visited, like, New Zealand, Hawaii, Cambodia.
I want to see that Taj Mahal footage. We've got, don't worry, y'all, the Taj Mahal is on the list.
It is.
So we are going to tell that story of Shah Jahan. But I want to do that episode at the Taj Mahal. So let's start a little GoFundMe. And see if we can't get out there and record that episode on site. Wouldn't that be dope?
God, that'd be rad. It'll
never happen. We'll record it before then. Oh, and this guy, Captain Wanderwell here, like, what a character.
Yeah.
What a wacko.
He seems like the kind of guy that could kind of only exist
in
1920.
Yes, 100%.
But if he was alive today, he would still be a grifter. It would just be different.
It would be different and probably really annoying.
You think he'd be like a scam artist on those dating apps?
Oh, maybe.
Or anything like that?
I feel like he's too lazy for that.
Yeah, I was like, well, he kind of was like a cult of personality sort of person. So maybe he'd just have a podcast.
He'd have a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, you're
basically.
Right.
He's like, you buy into this. And then you can do all the work for me.
That's right. You're so right. He would have like leggings or vitamins or some shit.
Captain Wanda Well's leggings. You could Wanda Well in Wanda Well leggings.
Hey, you already, we should do this pyramid scheme.
All right. If anybody wants to buy into our pyramid scheme, wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Then please send $20 to RidicRomance@gmail.com. Send us anything at RidicRomance@gmail.com. We would love to hear your thoughts
on this episode,
on any episode, on suggestions for new episodes. Just reach out.
Yeah. You can also find us on social media. I'm at Dynamite Boom on Twitter and Instagram.
That's right. And I'm at Oh Great It's Eli there as well.
And the show is at RidicRomance.
Don't forget to follow us on TikTok as well, where you can find little video clips we're doing and summaries of episodes. That's at Ridiculous Romance on TikTok.
So hopefully you loved it as much as we did, and we will catch you next time with another amazing Ridiculous Romance.
That's right. Bye-bye.
So long, friends. It's time to go. Thanks for listening to our show. Tell your friends, neighbors, uncles, and aunts to listen to our show, Ridiculous Romance.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.